The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. First reading from the prophet Elijah teaches us a very simple but a very important spiritual truth. Sometimes a good nap and a good meal can fix just about everything. Because in Elijah's case, he's been running. He's been on the run because he made the prophets of Baal and the government unhappy. And so they were chasing him down to try to kill him. So he's been on the run for a little while, and he's walked one day in the desert. He finds this random broom tree. I don't know if you noticed, but Elijah's pretty much done. He's pretty much ready just for God to take him. He said, "Hey, Lord, we did some cool things on Mount Carmel. That was great. Hopefully people will accept it, but they're clearly mad at me right now, and I'm tired of running. I'm tired of doing this. So you can just take me now. That would be okay with me." What God does, he puts him to sleep, basically. He has him take a little rest under this broom tree in the nice shade, and then he gives him a cake and some water, and then the angel kind of gives him the strength to go 40 days walking to Mount Horeb. Right? It wasn't that he just had to walk a couple days. He had to walk all the way through the desert to go to Mount Horeb. And all of a sudden, this nap and this meal make it possible for him to do that. That'd be a pretty good nap and a meal, I would imagine. But I think especially in this story from Elijah, it's not just that he took a nap and decided to take a break and feed himself physically. That's actually a little bit of a part of it. But that's not all of the lesson that we can take from it. Instead, in the way that it happens to Elijah, he has to receive this gift of physical rest and the bread that God gives him from heaven. It's not something that he makes himself. It's not a decision he even makes himself, but something that he has to receive. And that once he does receive that, he's able to do exactly what God calls him to do. He's able to do the very difficult thing, even just of physically walking to Mount Horeb. But I think also continuing to be that prophet of God, continuing to preach God's word and to try to bring the people of Israel back to God himself. So it certainly is that sometimes a good nap and a good meal can fix us, but I think more centrally it's that our job is to receive those gifts that God wants to give us, to receive the things that will strengthen us for the journey and the things that God calls us to do. So then when we look at the crowd in today's gospel and that we've been reading the last couple weeks, why would someone not want to receive what Jesus wants to give them? They've experienced the feeding of the 5,000, the multiplication of the loaves. They followed him because of that, and then he comes to tell them that he is the bread of life, and they balk at that today. They say, well, He can't say that he's come from heaven because we know his father and his mother here on earth. So he must just be lying. He can't give us something like that, even that good news that God has sent a Savior into the world. But he certainly can't give us this bread that's supposed to lead to eternal life. But what is it that forces them, or what's the reason that they can't receive this gift? Remember in this reading, the feeding of the 5,000 was literally yesterday, was the day before. Right, we've been reading it for 3 weeks, so we can think, oh, maybe it'd be easy to forget about the feeding of the 5,000. No, it was very current in their memory. And yet they don't go back to the day before. Right? They don't go back and say, well, it's hard to believe that Jesus could do this, but I mean, he did provide for all those people. He did multiply these loaves, and there was an abundance left over. No, they skip right over that moment, and they go all the way back to 15 or 20, 30 years ago, when he was born in Nazareth and Joseph and Mary. And they use that as a reason to discredit what Jesus has done or what he has preached. Because it's not just that this is a hard teaching, right? In a couple Sundays from this same chapter, we'll hear Peter say that this is a hard teaching, Lord, but where else are we supposed to go? Because we believe that you are the Messiah. So even though maybe we don't really get it or don't know why you're teaching us this, we can believe in it because we know you are the Messiah. But for the crowds, that's where they get caught up. They can't accept that he is the Messiah or anything greater than just a normal human being. This seems like crazy talk. They're stuck of defining Jesus in the past. Maybe when he was an infant, maybe when he was a small child and got left in the temple in Jerusalem. Maybe just when he was growing up and was a teenager or in his early adulthood when he was a carpenter. They have that image of him stuck in their brains. They're defining him by the past. But the apostles and the followers of Jesus are able to encounter him in the present moment. Not because those things in the past aren't true. They're true. But God is always wanting to do something new in the present moment. We actually cannot receive God's graces in the past nor in the future, but it has to be right here and now. So in this story, that is remembering that he did multiply the loaves and the fish, that he did feed those 5,000 people. So even if this is a hard teaching to accept, even if we don't really understand how or why Jesus is going to give us this bread of life, we should very naturally say, but there is something different and unique about Jesus. And we can't just treat him like any other person, but he has come to do something very new. So I would say the crowds are not able to receive this good news or the bread of life from Jesus because they're stuck in the past. They're stuck about assuming Jesus is who he was before instead of encountering him in the present moment. For us, too, to receive those graces from God, we have to be in the present moment with him. I would say both of those things are true for us when we come and approach him in the bread of life, the Eucharist. That we need to be physically fed and well rested. We need to take care of those things so that we can notice the things that God is doing, like Elijah in the first reading. We need to receive those things rather than just kind of doing them. But also we need to be able to receive God in this present moment. But that's actually what the church tries to do throughout the whole order of the Mass. Right, at the beginning of the Mass, we start with the penitential rite, remembering that we're sinners, yes, but in a very specific way of saying, let us think about our sins really basically from the past week. It's not just think about all the bad things that you did when you were a teenager or the mistakes that you made earlier in your life, but it's really to say, Lord, help me to notice who I am, good and bad, right now. And to be able to bring that to you, knowing that you are full of compassion and mercy, but also accepting that I'm not perfect yet, and that's okay. That is actually meant to, in the penitential rite, kind of put us in this present moment. No matter what happened in the car right here, or if there's a, you know, ambulance driving by on Maple Street in the middle of Father preaching, whatever it might be, the church in the order of the Mass, it's starting with the penitential rite, wants us to be here and now with God. Not thinking about what he's done in the past, nor what he's going to do in the future, but just seeing the gifts that he wants to give us now. So it's meant to happen in the liturgy of the word with the readings from the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the gospel, and even in the homily. The big part of the homily, in my opinion, is to put these readings into the context of our lives today, to show that this is the living, breathing word of God, and that there are true things that happened in the past, but they can actually do something for us now. Then we continue by professing our faith, saying that I believe, not I believed in the past when I received baptism, but right now I believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I think this focus on the present moment actually culminates at a very specific moment in the Eucharistic prayer. That as the priest has taken in the offertory gifts of bread and wine, he said the prayers and invoked the memory of Christ at the Last Supper. He says the words of consecration, and then the priest lifts up the body and blood of Christ to show to the people. And it's meant to be a moment of adoration. It's meant to be a moment where we notice and we say that that is truly Jesus. I mentioned in the email newsletter on Thursday that there was a practice that was started really just in the early 20th century that people would say the words of St. Thomas in the Gospels. They would say even out loud, even quietly, my Lord and my God. That as they looked on the Eucharistic species, on what looks like bread and wine, they would say, no, I actually believe that that is my Lord and my God. That is actually Jesus. And that like St. Thomas, then our doubts or our lack of faith can be turned into a moment of faith. Can be turned into a moment that says, I truly believe that that is Jesus. I think that moment in the Eucharistic prayer is meant to put us right here and now with Jesus. It's meant to help us to see that it doesn't matter what happened this morning or 3 days ago or a lifetime ago. It doesn't matter if I was a little distracted during Mass with something going on over here or over there or just the thoughts and anxieties that I have about my life. It's that moment of adoration is supposed to break through all of that. So that in the present moment, we can actually prepare ourselves to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. Say, Jesus, whatever is going on in my heart and mind, I want to be here with you. To receive that bread of life, to receive that grace and that gift that you want to give me today. And the beauty of that is that that moment can be ever ancient and ever new. That moment is the same. We've probably done it thousands of times in our lives. We've seen the priest hold the host up. We believe that that is Jesus, and then we come up and receive the Eucharist. We've done it lots of times. It's not going to change, at least as far as I know. But also, based on where we're at in that moment, it can be a vastly different moment. There are many people who were in Indianapolis for the National Eucharistic Congress, and they had beautiful and powerful encounters with Jesus in the Eucharist. Whether that was in moments of healing, kneeling in front of Jesus and Eucharistic adoration, or whether it was praising and worshiping God with 50,000 other Catholics in the Holy Mass. That those moments were unique and different. They were very new than the thousands of times they'd experienced it before. Partly because of the grandeur, the greatness of that event, but I think also because every time we come to encounter the Eucharist, it's meant to be a little bit different. Our lives are different, and I think more importantly, every time we come to the Lord in the present moment, our needs from him are a little different. How he wants to feed us as the bread of life is a little bit different, and so our job is to recognize that in the present moment and simply to receive it, to receive the gifts that he wants to give us, so that like Elijah and the apostles, we can be fed by that bread of life, fed by Jesus who doesn't want to just satisfy us for a moment here on earth, to lead us to that eternal life. Let us pray, brothers and sisters, that we can be in this present moment with God, our Heavenly Father. That in this Holy Mass, we can worship and adore him in the Eucharist. Especially in that moment when the priest raises the host and then the chalice, we can proclaim him as our Lord and our God. But more importantly, by being present with him in this moment, actually receive the gifts that he wants to give us. We can receive that bread of life that leads us not just to things in this life, but that they can lead us to eternal life with him in heaven.